was the night before Christmas, and deep in the house, a creature was stirring, ready to pounce. Stockings were hung by the chimney with care, whilst phantom footsteps ascended the stair. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, but a dark shadow figure loomed over their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, were about to be woken by one ghostly rap.
Festive greetings and jingly bells. I'm Lil.
And I'm Fitz.
And you're listening to the Christmas episode of Knock Once for Yes. We've donned our Christmas jumpers and the sherry's on standby. So, Fitz, what festive spooky treats have we got coming up on today's episode?
Okay, well, coming up today, we have repeat caller Fraser with his paranormal Christmas story. We've got a haunted dual carriageway, a Christmas jumper doppelganger, and the very first Knock Once for Yes Christmas quiz.
Of course, because it's not Christmas without a slightly dodgy Christmas quiz. Also, I actually have my own rather creepy Christmas tale to tell.
Very much looking forward to that. But first, what's pinged the paranormal radar this month?
Well, just a kind of an amusing little Christmas festive paranormal story. I saw in a Cornish local newspaper. It's the White Hart Inn in Bodmin, which is reputedly haunted. The manager lives on site and says that he quite regularly hears footsteps banging around downstairs, bottles moving and people talking when there's nobody else in the building. But they're quite fond of their ghost by the sound of it. They're not too scared by it. But they decorated their Christmas tree, quite proud of it, took a little picture and put it on Facebook or with its baubles and tinsel. And they locked up for the night, left the site. And when they came back in the morning, they found the Christmas tree turned upside down.
That's interesting.
I know, completely upside down. If you look at you can Google the picture. And it's not just like knocked over, it's completely upside down, legs in the air, balanced on the point of a star.
That's pretty impressive. I'm not sure I could do that.
No, so paranormal in nature or not, still quite interesting and impressive. So yes, they are blaming their resident ghost for it, but they seem quite happy with that. They've actually said they're going to leave it upside down just to appease their resident ghost, which is quite sweet, really.
Bless them. Well, I think it's time for our first story, but before we get into that, we shall start question one of the Christmas quiz.
We shall, and I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give an easy one for starters. So, which London poltergeist caused a media storm in the 70s and was famously investigated by the Society for Psychical Research members Morris Gross and Guy Leon Playfair?
Bless you, you did start easy with that one. We'll let you mull on that while we hear Fraser from Leicester's Christmas paranormal story.
Hey guys, really enjoying the podcast. Thanks so much for using my story on your first episode. I really enjoyed hearing your thoughts about that. Now, when I heard that you were looking for Christmas stories, that made me remember something from my childhood that was actually really spooky. Now, I hadn't considered this before, so this actually predates what I told you guys was my first paranormal experience. So I'm sorry about that, but this is so weird. I hadn't thought about this for years. I was with my sister. We were staying in the same room. We had separate rooms at the time, but it being Christmas time, we would always sleep in the same room. It seemed like it was more of an event, but when I think back, it's probably more an excuse to get us both in the same room so my parents could go down and lay all the presents out from Santa, knowing that we were both in the same room so they could keep an eye on us, and it was easier for them. Now, we'd stayed up pretty late. It was Christmas. We were really excited. We were finding it hard to get to sleep. We knew that our parents, who were the only other people in the house, were sound asleep. It was the early hours of the morning, and we were there, hush whispers, talking to each other, when we heard what we thought was Santa's sack dragging along the roof of the house. At the time, we were thrilled. We were so excited. We were like, oh my God, it's Santa's actually here. We're still awake, and he's here. He's turned up. He's dragging his sack across the roof filled with toys. It sounded heavy, and we were like, we need to get to sleep. We need to get to sleep right now. We knew that our parents were sound asleep. We knew that no one else was in the house. It had to be Santa dragging something across our roof. Now, obviously, when I think of that memory now, that's kind of terrifying. Like, I have no idea what was being dragged across something above us. I don't know if it was something in the attic, like some heavy box or something like that. But it's just so bizarre to think about it. It's so strange how, as children, we were just so excited about this. We just assumed that it was Father Christmas, and he was come to deliver all of these toys to us, and he was dragging this heavy thing across the roof. But obviously that doesn't make any sense when I think of it as an adult. I've considered that maybe someone was in the attic above us, but like I said, we knew that our parents were asleep. The attic door was directly outside the room. You need to get a ladder out to get up there. It makes a horrendous amount of noise. Like, it's just, it literally couldn't have been that. So I'm at a loss, but it's very, very creepy to me now, and also very Christmassy. So I hope you enjoy that one, guys. And keep up with the good work. Really enjoying the podcast. Thanks.
Well, that's some precious childhood Christmas memories ruined right there, isn't it?
As far as I'm concerned, you've got three options in this scenario. Number one, Fraser's parents are ridiculously, and I mean Disney level, dedicated to making the Christmas experience real. Two, he's got a seriously overweight squirrel in his attic.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, there's something a bit odd going on up there.
Well, yeah, see, my parents were actually ridiculously, almost Disney level, dedicated to making the Christmas experience magical. We had nibbled carrots that we'd left out for Rudolph. And one year, this was incredible, I remember coming down and there were sooty, snowy boot prints all over the living room carpet. I mean, that is some Disney-style dedication there.
That's pretty impressive.
I don't know how they did it. They must have stuck welly boots up the chimney and then went stomping around in the living room with them or something. But I can almost guarantee it wasn't my mum that came up with that idea, because she would have been the one cleaning the soot off of the carpet.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have fancied cleaning up after that. I will say now to anyone listening that going up on the roof and stomping about and dragging things around, that's going too far.
Too far, yeah. As for the attic, bearing in mind we're in Britain, I think the biggest thing you're going to find in your attic, like animal-wise, is, like you say, it's going to be a squirrel or a rat. I mean, it's not going to make a dragging noise, is it?
I wouldn't have thought so, you know, unless it's sort of dragging food around, but people don't tend to keep food in their attics.
No, not big enough to be dragged around like that anyway. And it sounds like you've already ruled out the possibility of a person being up there. You know, if they would have had to have get the ladder out and that would have made a big noise, you'd have definitely have known that a person was in the attic. So I'm going to go with paranormal on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to say for a person to sneak up into an attic is nigh on impossible. If you've ever been on one of those loft ladders, you'll know
horrible.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
They're rattly and, yeah, you'd have heard them. You'd have heard them go up there. So very spooky. Thank you for that, Fraser.
Yes, thanks, Fraser. Well, continuing on the Santa theme, somebody that I think will be on Santa's naughty list this year will be a Chinese artist named Lu Pingwan, and I apologise profusely if I've pronounced that incorrectly. I came across this story when I was perusing the internet, and it amused me, and I thought, it being the Christmas special, a sort of light-hearted episode, that this would be the perfect time.
Definitely.
Now, this relates to Ye Olde Man and Scythe pub in Bolton, England.
Lots of pubs in today's episode.
Well, it does seem to be a lot of pubs
are haunted.
I know from experience that you tend to find that lots of men are quite familiar with their local pub.
Definitely.
And they spend a lot of time there. One can see that when they pass on, they might want to...
That would be their favourite place to go back to.
Yes, they might want to return there. Now, this is actually in relation to the 7th Earl of Derby, a James Stanley. So we've got a respectable ghost.
Mm.
And apparently he haunts Ye Olde Man and Scythe, and all is well. The landlord is quite happy with his ghost, and a Mr. Lu Pingwan stole it.
He stole his ghost.
Yes, apparently he went into the toilet with a metal canister, said some incantations,
okay,
and managed to trap the ghost in this canister and put it on display at an art gallery in Manchester.
As you do.
As you do. Now, number one, well, just sort of breaking into the story here, I think if one can actually steal a ghost, then I know there's quite a few people that tell stories that probably want him to attend and do the very same thing.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
And two, if you're the pub owner and this ghost is an attraction,
I would be livid.
One, you'd be livid, but what do you do? Do you go to the police and say somebody stole my ghost?
That's it. In all seriousness, though, if that is an attraction for your pub, that could actually really damage your business, couldn't it?
It could, but how do you one, prove that there's a ghost, and two, that it's been stolen?
I don't know.
You know, if somebody nicks your computer, you can go, look, here's the receipt for me computer. That's where the computer was. It's no longer there. I've got CCTV of this bloke running off with it. When you've got a ghost, you know, how do you
it's
say...
It's not like you can put it on an insurance claim, is it? But can I just... What was the purpose of stealing this ghost again? What, he put it in an art gallery?
It was on display at an art gallery.
So he was displaying it as a piece of art?
Yes. The brilliant thing is, the artist claims that he didn't go in, steal it and run away. He went there first and asked permission from the ghost
for
it to be stolen.
So the ghost went willingly into the canister.
Apparently.
Apparently.
The ghost gave its permission to be encapsulated, put on display and taken on a world tour.
Well, I suppose, you know, if you're stuck in a pub for a few hundred years and somebody offers you the chance to tour the world, even if it is in a canister, you might say yes.
This is it. I mean, apparently he's been there since 1644, so I think
perhaps
change
he's a bit bored.
Yeah, change of scenery might be nice.
Oh, I love it. I love those random ghost stories. That's brilliant. Well found bits.
I thought you'd enjoy that one.
Right. Well, keeping the festive spirits going, I'm going to give you the answer to my Christmas quiz question at this stage. I'm sure you've guessed what it is, though.
I believe it was the Enfield Poltergeist.
It was indeed, of course, the Enfield Haunting.
Now, I've got a question for you.
Oh, and I can tell from your expression that you're not going to pull any punches with this one, are you?
Well, I didn't think it was that bad originally, but looking back on it now, it's possibly a little bit harsh.
Okay, go on then.
Okay, which famous alchemist and occultist invented the cat flap and wrote Philosophiae Naturalis Principia Mathematica, one of the most important works in the history of science?
I have no clue. That's so mean.
Now, that may be my public schooling showing through, or it may just be the fact that I suck up lots of useless knowledge.
Oh, possibly the latter, but oh dear. I'm probably going to have to end up asking you for the answer to that. But before we get to the answer, I'm going to tell you about my own Christmas creepy experience.
Oh, please do.
So, it was Christmas Eve. And me and my siblings always had a midnight feast on Christmas Eve because, like, obviously, feeding a load of sugar to kids that are already too excited to sleep is a brilliant idea.
But fantastic.
Whatever my parents' reasoning was, we had fallen asleep in a bit of a sugar coma. And I was woken, and it must have been, like, the early hours of the morning, by the sound of a baby crying.
Ooh.
Yeah. Obviously, I'd been asleep, so when it first woke me up, my brain was sort of struggling to make sense of it. And my initial thought was, the only logical explanation is that this is my little brother. And I thought, oh my God, I better, you know, something's wrong. He's had a nightmare. I better get up and go and check on him. So as I was sort of stirring myself and trying to get awake enough to go and do that, I sort of sat up in bed and looked down and realised that my little brother was actually asleep on my floor.
Oh.
Yeah. So I sort of froze at that point, and the crying had stopped while I was doing all this, and I thought, oh my, well, what do I do then? My brain was struggling to search for a logical answer to this conundrum because there were no other children in the house. And as I sat there thinking about it, I realised, like, it really was the sound of a very small child cry, you know, a baby cry, and my brother really wasn't that young. And then it started again.
Ooh.
The sound of a baby crying, and oh God, I just didn't know what to do. So I froze, basically.
I imagine you would. That sounds horrifying.
It was really, it was truly creepy. It really was. But to make it worse, at that point, while I was thinking, I literally don't know what to do with this information, the sound of footsteps started walking across the landing from what would have been my brother's room, and clearly he wasn't in it. And I was just like, I just don't know what to do. So I just sat there. I just sat there terrified as the footsteps walked directly towards my room. They stopped just sort of a few feet from what would have been my bedroom door. And again, I just continued sitting there being frozen and terrified. And then nothing. Just nothing. No sound. The house was still. It was quiet. Nobody was moving. It, you know, everybody would have been asleep. And I waited and I waited and I waited for the footsteps to leave, and they never did.
Oh, that's terrifying. Although that does sound like a lot of stories you hear, that they sort of stop before you reach the point you expect them to.
Yeah, they never made it to the bedroom door. They made it close, but they never turned around. They never went away. And then it just literally everything, all noise ceased.
Oh, that's terrifying. I know babies crying is just, it's programmed in part of your brain for you to react to that.
Definitely.
Or knowing that you didn't have a baby in the house. I presume you weren't living sort of in the countryside at this point. Because
no.
I know foxes can sound like
crying definitely.
Babies.
Yeah, I've heard them. And this was not that. Because I've heard them, so I can tell the difference. And you're quite right. I mean, foxes make some terrifying sounds, actually.
Oh, God,
it's really eerie. But no, it definitely wasn't that. And with the footsteps as well.
Yeah.
When there was clearly nobody living, walking around in my house. Because obviously I sat awake for, probably hours after that, waiting, not really knowing what to do and wondering if something else was going to happen. And there was nobody else moving. Everybody else was asleep. It was pretty freaky. Like I said, this was the house where I first saw my first full-bodied apparition. And it's just another classic example, really, of how that house was absolutely fine, like 90% of the time. Mm. And then randomly, something really creepy and slightly sinister would happen. I remember I moved out of that house into my own place years later. And I went back one night to see my parents, and I actually stayed the night. And by this time, they turned my room into a guest room. So it's just like wasn't a loft bed anymore. It was just a normal bed. And there wasn't a lot of furniture in there. So there wasn't stuff underneath the bed. And I'd kind of, with rose-tinted view of my childhood memories, forgotten about the creepiness of that house. So I went to bed quite relaxed. And just as I was trying to get to sleep, I could hear what sounded like somebody dragging their fingernails along the underside of the mattress.
Oh.
So the noise of this scraping just reverberated through the bed and through my pillow. And it would start up, and I would think, oh God, what's that? And then it would stop. And then just as I was dropping off to sleep, it would start up again. And I have no idea what that was. And I just remember laying there thinking, oh, God, I'd forgotten how creepy this house could be. I don't want to be here.
Oh, you've got some truly horrifying stories this month.
That was really disturbing, that experience with the sound. It literally sounded like somebody was scraping their fingernails on the bottom of the mattress.
Just to be sure, you didn't have a cat or a dog or a pet that might have scratched.
No, my mum was very anti-animal. She didn't like the mess in the hair and stuff like that. I mean, trust me, there was no animals in the house. There was no sort of pests either. My goodness, we would have known about it if there was. But also, there was nothing really under the bed. Because it had been turned into a guest room, you don't get like the random boxes and stuff like that you might find under your own bed. It was empty. So of course, I didn't look under there.
No.
Because I was too scared. So yeah, to this day, do not know what that was, but it was very creepy. Very creepy.
Although thinking about it now, having had pets since I can remember, if you've got a haunted house, it is so easy to just go, oh, it's probably the cat.
Yeah, yeah. But there were definitely, in that house, that was not a viable excuse.
So if you're slightly scared of noises in your house, get
a cat.
And then you can blame it on them.
Yep, good plan, I
like Much
it.
Like blaming the farts on the dog. It's just, you know, you can say that's all it was, I'm going to sleep and dealing with it tomorrow.
Just the cat. I think you're going to have to give me the answer to that quiz question, because I haven't got a clue.
I will. drum roll. it was, in fact, Sir Isaac Newton.
No way!
Indeed.
Really?
Yep.
I would never have got that in a million years.
Yes.
Very cool.
Amazing brain. Slightly odd chap in some of the things that he thought. But yes, laid down the foundation for modern mathematics and physics and invented the cat flap.
That's a very geeky question.
Apologies, we've covered this before. I'm a geek.
Massive geek. Well, I don't think my question's going to be as good as that, but here it is anyway. Which sisters are sometimes referred to as the founders of the spiritualist movement, but later confessed to hoaxing their communication with the dead?
Oh, you're making it too easy.
Anyway, before I give you the answer to that that Fitz already knows, let's have a listen to the story of the haunted jewel carriageway.
I was driving home a little after 10 o'clock one October evening. It was particularly clear night, and I was surprised at how mild it was for the time of year. The road I was travelling on was normally a busy dual carriageway, but as it was after 10, it was empty. I went over a roundabout and just minded my own business, and I noticed that there was a guy on the opposite side of the road starting to cross over. Obviously, I was paying attention to him because it's a dual carriageway and it would be unusual to see somebody crossing over at any time of day, but particularly at that time of night. There are no paths either side of the road, and I was wondering where he was coming from and, more importantly, where he was going to. He didn't look particularly unusual. He had jeans and a hoodie on, so I was keeping an eye on him, and as he got to the central reservation and I was watching to see how he negotiated it, that's when I realised things weren't quite as I would expect, because he didn't climb over the central reservation, he passed through it. As he was going across the road directly in front of my car at this point and I was slowing down, he just seemed to float across the road. And as I processed what I was seeing, he was gone. I looked along the side of the verge in case I could see any sign of anyone walking, and there was no one there. And I became exceptionally cold. I felt really uneasy. So I continued the rest of my journey home, feeling a little strange. Spoke to my husband, went to bed, didn't really think too much about it, other than it was a little unusual. A couple of days later, I was recounting the story to a friend, and they stood there open-mouthed, amazed at what I'd seen, but also at the fact that I didn't know that 2 years previously, a couple of guys had crossed that road one evening and been hit by a vehicle and unfortunately died. So perhaps it was one of those guys that I'd seen that night. Who knows?
Oh, that one gave me the chills. And that story was from CJ in Northamptonshire. So thank you very much, CJ in Northamptonshire, for that story about the haunted jewel carriageway. I think the sad fact is now that a lot of roads will have had some tragic events occur on them. And we do hear a lot of road ghost stories and haunted road stories.
It does seem to be a common theme, although there was one thing that stuck out for me in this instance, was that obviously it stuck out to CJ as well, in that he went through the barrier.
Yeah, which is right through it.
Which is what made her believe it was out of the ordinary, which obviously it was.
It would.
but it makes me wonder, you know, you often hear stories of ghosts going through walls and things like that. Because the rationale being when they were alive, the layout was different.
Yeah, so they're going through a wall because it didn't used to be there.
Yeah, basically. Whereas when she spoke to her friend was saying that the accident was quite recent, and it makes me wonder,
is it from that incident or is it an older incident?
Yeah, if it was a recent incident, you'd have thought that as far as whatever it was aware, the barrier would be there. So is it that? Is it an older, Is it something that had an accident previously, or is that just the benefit of being incorporeal?
You just choose whether to go through things or around things.
Do you think, I really can't be bothered. I'm just going to go through this one.
Well, I think there has been a road there for many, many years, and I don't think it was always a dual carriageway. I think the original road in question wasn't a road, so there would not have been a barrier there at that time. So it's a possibility that it is actually just from a previous incident rather than a more modern one. But also it could be, ghosts just couldn't be bothered to go around. But the fact that she got chilled as well is just classic haunting phenomena, really. The human body being a barometer for the fact that something is not quite right, and that coldness that she felt afterwards. It's not what you want to encounter driving home on a dark night, really, is it?
No, not at all.
Oh, very creepy, very creepy. Should we lighten the mood a bit?
Let's do that.
Let's find out the answer to my quiz question. I'm pretty sure you know this.
I believe that it was the Fox sisters.
Yes, Marty Pants, it was, in fact, the Fox sisters. They became famous for supposedly communicating with the dead. During seances, they would ask people that were known to be deceased questions, and the dead would supposedly respond by taps and knocks. And one of the sisters later came forwards and confessed that they actually caused these taps and knocks themselves by cracking the knuckles of their toes and other fairly grim things like that. But it must be said, it was only one of the sisters that confessed to hoaxing the paranormal incidents. And the other sisters remained staunchly that they were in fact real paranormal phenomena.
Ah, that I did not know.
No, see, not such as Marty Pants after all.
Apparently not.
No, and then later, the sister that originally confessed to the hoax tried to recant that confession.
Ah, you see, now I thought they'd all recanted.
No.
And that it was just that the sort of spiritualist movement had taken off so much that their admission hadn't sort of taken root.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was only one of the sisters that made a public confession. The other sisters maintained that the paranormal phenomena was real.
I stand corrected.
Indeed. So what's your quiz question for me then?
Okay, I think this one is a little bit easier than my last one.
We'll see.
Okie dokie. Which parlour game, introduced in 1890 by businessman Elijah Bond and now owned by Hasbro, has since become associated with the occult?
Actually, I think I do know this one. Yay me! But before I give you the answer, because you know how much I love haunted dolls, I believe you have a creepy doll story of your own to share.
Yes, well, oddly enough, this one's been rattling around since we spoke about the haunted doll of Findon in the first episode. I'd completely forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Creepy though the situation was. and it sort of slowly brought its way back, so I thought I'd share it with you. I used to look after an old social services building when it was empty, obviously, so no staff. A vast majority of the furniture had been removed. We had a security contractor that do the majority of the security, and the building was alarmed, so I didn't need to visit the place very often. When I did, there was one room that had a chair inside, and on that chair was sitting a stuffed doll.
Oh, why?
Yes, it was just from that situation a bit creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy enough on its own, to be honest.
But I'm an adult, and I witnessed the doll in the chair and just went, ugh, yeah, that's horrible, and shut the door and didn't think much more of it. Now, the room it was in, most of the rooms in the building faced the outside of the building, whereas this faced a sort of inner courtyard.
Mm.
And there was ivy growing over the window as well, so there was very little light in there. It was a very dark room. So it was sort of, the creepy room in the building to start with.
Yeah.
So, again, did what I had to do, wandered off, and, didn't think much more of it. Later on, we were coming to dispose of the building, so I was spending a bit more time on site, taking people round it to have a look, making sure the maintenance was up to date, that sort of thing. So I was spending a bit more time there, And each time I went to the building, the doll was in a different place in the room.
Oh, no way.
Yes. So I would find it on the windowsill and, you know, next to the chair.
Oh,
or
my God.
The worst was when I went into the room and it was propped up in the corner facing the wall.
Oh, you're kidding me. It's just like out of the Blair Witch product. But with a doll, which is even worse.
It was literally like, you know, when you're scolding a naughty child, you know, go and stand in the corner. It was just propped up in the corner facing the wall. And yes, it was a little bit terrifying. So I assume that, you know, my security contractor's playing games with, you know,
yeah, you'd think somebody
me
was messing with you.
Or one of the other security contractors.
Yeah,
I thought,
definitely.
You know, they're obviously sort of playing a game with each other or what have you. And again, didn't think too much more of it until this kept happening again and again and again. And I thought, right, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask the contractor for the log for the alarm system.
Okay.
Because every time the alarm's triggered or you turn the alarm off or put the alarm on, there's a log. So I got the log, and bar a couple of occasions, every time I'd been inside the building, I was the last person to have been in the building.
Oh no. That is awful to actually have known that there'd been nobody, for sure, nobody else in that building between your visits.
Yeah, I literally, there was a couple of occasions where they'd been in, I think if there'd been a broken window or that sort of thing. But when I say broken window, it was the windows with sort of multiple panes of glass with wooden frame in between.
Oh, so, the old-fashioned ones. So just a little pane. Not a pane somebody could get through.
No, not something anybody could crawl through unless they were the size of a ferret. literally sort of the little windows, so they'd had to go in to sort of board them up sort of thing. But that was only on, like I say, one or two occasions. The vast majority, I was the last person in the building.
And then the first person in the building.
And the first
the next
person
time.
Back in, and it had moved each time.
Oh, man.
Now, further to this, there was one time I went into the building, and not only had the doll moved, the doll had gone.
Oh, my God. So you were looking behind you, expecting it to run up on you.
Yeah, it was one of those moments, like the sort of classic movie moments where you expect to slowly turn your head and see something behind you with a bloody knife.
Oh my God, if you can't tell, I'm hiding behind my hands at this point.
Luckily, nothing there. Doll had actually gone and
proper
wasn't hiding somewhere waiting to pounce. It later turned out that a colleague of mine had taken it.
Why?
Well, this is the odd thing, because my colleague was a 40-something single man, and not that 40-something single men can't have an interest in dolls.
Oh, that's fine.
No problem with that, but it wasn't one of his interests. He just said that he felt an urge to take it.
Do you know what? That is so weird, because I have heard other haunted doll stories like this, believe it or not. I've heard a few or read a few stories where people have randomly come across a rather creepy-looking doll, like in a tree or at the side of the road, somewhere you just would not expect to find a doll. And for some reason, they've picked it up and they've actually said that they have felt a strange urge to take it with them. And it just doesn't make any sense, does it? Because if that was me, if I found a creepy doll in a tree, I'd be like, leave it alone, walk away.
Yes, I did not have the urge to take the doll. Although he did mention that when he took it, the doll was sat in the chair.
Which presumably...
Which it hadn't been the last time I'd been.
No.
Which again was a bit freaky. He just said he'd gone into this room. I think I was off one day and he was doing one of the viewings for me. And yeah, so they saw the doll sitting in the chair and thought, oh, I'll take that. And didn't really...
For some bizarre reason.
Yeah, didn't really know why. But to make the story even more creepy, he fairly quickly decided that he wasn't really into the doll and that perhaps it ought to go somewhere where somebody might like it. So he gathered some of his things, I can't remember what else he'd got, but to take to a children's centre, local children's centre. So he pat the doll in the box with a few other things. And he said when he went to take the box to the children's centre, mm-hmm. the doll was on top of the box.
Oh, no.
Again,
did you say he lived alone?
Yeah, he lives alone.
So there was there was nobody that was going to go rooting around in that box.
No.
And taking the doll out.
No.
Clearly a haunted doll.
Very, very freaky.
Oh, what is it about dolls? Don't understand. Oh, goodness me. Oh, right. Creepy, creepy, creepy. Again, to lighten the mood, I think, with the back to the quiz questions. I think I know the answer to your quiz question this time.
Come on, then.
Is it the Ouija board?
It is the Ouija board.
Hooray!
Well done.
Finally, I got one right. Well, okay, so I've got a question for you. You might know the answer to this, but I'm not sure. So, which TV paranormal investigator is actually the nephew of Ed and Lorraine Warren?
Oh, I know this one. I think I know it.
Can you remember the name, though?
I think I need some thinking time.
Well, while you're thinking about that, shall we listen to our Christmas Jumper doppelganger story?
Definitely.
It was Christmas Jumper Day at work, and I'd bought a jumper especially for the occasion. I'd gone to work feeling rather festive and decked out, but when I arrived, everybody else seemed to have forgotten. My co-worker arrived shortly after, and when she came in, I noted disappointedly that she hadn't remembered either, and was instead wearing one of her favourite pale turquoise jumpers. As soon as she saw me, she exclaimed, "Oh no, is it today?" "No worries, I've got mine in the car." She promptly went back to her car and changed into a black and silver Christmas jumper. A mere half hour or so later, I headed to the bathroom, on my way passing the front door, which has a clear glass window in it. I did a double take as I passed, as I could plainly see my co-worker, apparently walking from her car, which was parked directly outside, no more than 6 feet away, and walking back towards the front door. Her hand was still on the car door, as if she had just shut it, and she was once again wearing her original pale turquoise jumper. I paused because I couldn't work out how she had sped down the corridor without me seeing her. I could have sworn she was sat at her desk when I left the room. I thought it was a shame she changed back to her normal clothes, but I figured she must have been too warm or something. So I shrugged to myself and carried on to the bathroom. Walking back down the corridor, I thought she must still be outside, and I wondered if she was okay. The bathroom is right next to the front door, which makes a loud, unmistakable noise when opened, and I realised that I hadn't heard her come back inside. By this time, I'd got back to the office, where I stopped in the doorway, aghast, to see my co-worker, still sitting at her desk, wearing her black and silver Christmas jumper. Shocked and confused, I asked her, "Have you been here the whole time I was gone?" "Of course," she replied, giving me a strange look. I told her what I had just seen, and she assured me she hadn't moved from her desk. I'm pretty sure she thought I was being bonkers, but she humoured me when I asked her to show me the jumper she had come in wearing. She took it out of the bag under her desk, and there it was, the pale turquoise jumper. The experience really rattled me. I am certain that it was my co-worker I saw, and not someone else who happened to be wearing similar clothes. I was close enough to see facial features, and to recognise my colleague's distinctive walking gait. But obviously, she couldn't have been in two places at once, wearing two different sets of clothes. So I'm left wondering, what exactly did I see?
Now, as far as I'm aware, there are two paranormal theories that would account for this sort of experience.
Okay.
One of them being a doppelganger.
The doppelganger, definition of which, if you don't know, is an apparition of a living person. So more like the ghostly sort of visage, but not somebody that's deceased.
Indeed. And also, it's possible that it's some kind of time slip.
Yeah, now that's interesting, actually. I have had a few paranormal encounters myself that have seemed more like that kind of time slip. I call them ghosts for ease of use, for ease of explanation, really. But I've seen some ghosts, for want of a better term, that have seemed a surprise to see me as I am to see them, almost as if I'm the ghost in their reality and they're not expecting, they're really surprised to see me there, which is weird and does sound more like something's gone a bit wrong with the time-space thing.
Yeah, I've often thought this about a few things when, you know, you watch the programmes on television and, you know, you see the evidence from other paranormal groups, and some of the most common voice responses they tend to get are, you know, hello. And get out of my house.
Yeah, actually.
So, if you think, if you were, you know, in your house and you thought you heard somebody wandering around, what would you say? You'd go, hello, you know, is anybody there? And then if you heard it again, you'd be like, get out of my house.
That's just really interesting. That could account for a lot of creepy get outs, which, yeah, you're right, they pop up all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
It's one of the most common things to catch in EVP is get out, hello, or help, actually, which also is something you'd say if you came across somebody you weren't expecting in your house at night. You'd shout,
quite
help.
Possibly.
That's interesting. So, yeah, maybe a time slip.
Indeed.
Interesting theory. So, quiz question answer.
Indeed. I believe that the answer you're looking for is John Saffis.
Oh, well done. Yes. Oh, I really thought you wouldn't get that one. Yes, it was indeed John Saffis of Haunted Collector fame.
Oh, I'm good.
I kind of missed that show. It was like Antiques Roadshow for paranormal enthusiasts. That's quite good.
That's a good description. I like it.
So, do you have a quiz question for me?
I have.
Go on.
My question for you is, name the village in which two children with green skin were reported to have appeared in the 12th century who spoke an unknown language and would only eat beans.
Oh, I've heard of this one. I'm going to have to think on it. But I'm sure I know it.
Carry on thinking.
I will. But in the meantime, we'll go to our Myths and Legends segment, I think. And this episode, we're going to talk about a rather modern urban legend. If, in fact, it is an urban legend, it's kind of a hotly debated topic, actually. We're going to talk about black-eyed kids.
Ugh.
I know. Inherently creepy.
I'm trying to decide whether black-eyed children or haunted dolls are more creepy.
Oh, yeah. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
We may have to put a poll out on it.
Definitely. So, you probably heard of black-eyed kids, but I didn't know the history of where it had come from, or supposedly come from originally. Like I say, it's kind of a hotly debated topic. Some people believe that this has been spawned entirely by the internet, much in the same vein as Slender Man.
Oh, right. I thought it was older than that.
Well, yes. Turns out it kind of is. So we'll get to that bit shortly. But for now, it's widely believed that the term black-eyed kids stems from a sighting in the mid to late 90s that made waves on internet message boards. Hence why a lot of people think that it may be an internet phenomenon rather than a paranormal phenomenon. But I think this is one of those situations where that's where the term was coined.
Right, okay.
Not necessarily the actual sightings.
Encounter, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, to continue. Because it made waves on internet message boards, it soon had people chipping in with their own similar encounters. But the encounter itself was in 1996, and a man from Texas was in his parked car one night when he was approached by two pre-adolescent boys who tried to coerce a lift from him with a suspicious story that didn't quite add up. The sight of the pale youths wearing hooded sweatshirts that cast their faces in shadow filled him with an irrational fear, but the boys were very adamant that the man should give them a ride and kept repeating assurances like, "It won't take long. We're only kids."
Did they use the creepy voices?
No, but I had to. They might have done. We don't know. Anyway, nearly frozen with dread, he tried to excuse his way out of the situation until he noticed they both had solid coal black eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. With this new surge of terror, he wound up the window frantically and tore out of the car park. But as he was trying to execute his hasty exit, one boy banged repeatedly on the window, shouting, "Let us in! We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay." Which is just terrifying. Yeah, very creepy. What? Why would you say that?
It's like the sort of vampire story,
yeah,
where they can't
they
come
to be let in.
I don't know whether that's just from Buffy or whether that's from the previous.
No, it's quite a well-known mythological factoid. So in the following years, all the way up to the present, there's been loads of reported sightings of these black-eyed children. There's even been a movie made, which I haven't seen, so I might need to give that a watch. I believe it is literally called The Black-Eyed Kids. The stories all do seem to have very common themes, not necessarily approaching cars. They often seem to knock on the doors of people's houses at night and ask to come in while they wait for their parents, or they ask to use their phone. Every witness reports an incomprehensible feeling of dread at the appearance of these children, but despite that, often catch themselves moving as if to let them in, almost against their will. These children seem to appear more often than not wearing hoodies, with the hoods pulled up as if to detract from their soulless black eyes. And they also are reportedly tend to speak in a monotone, in limited and repetitive phrases, almost as if they're like pre-programmed with certain things to say. A well-reported phrase is, "We can't come in unless you let us," which is just deadly creepy without the monotone and the repetition.
Yeah.
Many people have told that the feelings of dread experienced upon merely seeing these children is so great that they've pretended not to be home in the desperate hope that they will go away. But the children merely continue to bang on the door and ask to be let in as if they know the resident is there. Witnesses also report that dogs and other pets are terrified of these children and began acting unlike themselves even before they show up on your doorstep. So that's tends to be a really good indicator, doesn't it, of paranormal activity, that animals acting strangely.
Yeah.
Like I said before, the hotly debated question is it another Slender Man situation? Is it something that's been spawned entirely from the internet or creepypastas? So I had a little look into this a bit further, and there do seem to be reports of black-eyed children prior to this story exploding on the internet. The earliest report I could find was from the 1950s.
Oh, right. Okay.
So way back, when a young man had an encounter with a youth who asked to be taken to his house. He reported the exact same feelings of wanting to get away as quickly as possible, that feeling of dread that something just wasn't quite right, and, of course, his soulless black eyes.
And so, that would have been before you could get contact lenses that were black to mimic the effect.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well before. So after repeatedly refusing to take him back to his house, the boy made a run for it, because you would, at which point the black-eyed child let out an unearthly shrieking.
Ooh.
I know. The boy's father, having heard, wondering why his kid was running back into the house frantically, later went out to look for this child, but the kid had vanished completely without a trace. So the next sighting I could find was from the 1970s. Again, well before contact lenses and the internet phenomena. And it was two men driving through rural France who sighted a group of children with black eyes that reputedly made their blood run cold, which is fair enough. We also had one in the UK. Prior to the 90s, apparently, the black-eyed child was sighted in Cannock Chase.
Ah, yes, Britain. I've heard Cannock Chase is a bit of a hotbed for this sort of thing.
Yeah, lots of strange and creepy things going on in Cannock Chase. And in fact, a couple of years ago, the local newspapers were, well, not just local, because I saw the newspapers here in our area as well. They were alight with the reported return of the black-eyed child to Cannock Chase. I think this is in 2014.
Quite recent.
And they mentioned within that story that the first sighting was in the 1980s in Cannock Chase. But the recent one happened when a dog walker heard rustling in the bushes behind him when he was out on his walk. His dog started behaving very oddly, but he continued on until he then heard the rustling again. He turned to see a young girl standing behind him with her hands over her eyes.
Ooh. Which
is, creepy already. He did ask her if she was okay or if she needed help, but she wouldn't respond. So, unnerved, he moved on, only to shortly come face to face with the girl once more, now in front of him, but with no longer her, with her hands hiding her pitch black eyes.
Oh, so she can teleport as well, can't she?
Apparently, yeah.
It's odd that she covered her eyes to start with, as if she's like, I know these eyes are going to freak this person out.
Yeah.
And then just thought, ah, well, time to shine.
Time to let it all loose. His dog freaked out at the sight of this child and started pulling him in the opposite direction. And by the time he'd managed to turn back to where the girl was, she had also vanished without a trace.
See, it's interesting, because a dog wouldn't, unless it normally freaks out at the sight of other people, yeah. I don't think a dog would really pay attention to contact lenses.
No, exactly. So if it was somebody trying to mess with him, then the dog surely wouldn't have reacted in that way. And like I said, there was apparent, I couldn't find much information about it, unfortunately, but it is said that the black-eyed child was actually first sighted in Cannock Chase in the 1980s. Although at the time there, I think it was thought that the black-eyed child sightings back then might have been to do with a series of murders that occurred in the area. A serial killer basically dumped bodies on Cannock Chase, unfortunately, and was ultimately put away, so... So it may have been to do with that. But it does sound to me like there is some basis in paranormal phenomena to the story. I mean, it's difficult to tell because it became such a big internet phenomenon.
Yeah, entered sort of the public consciousness, and, you know, you might find that people were reporting seeing something when it was just their eyes in shadow, or
because the idea had
been
put in their head.
The idea was already there, or...
But the other side to that is... Did this internet story merely give an already existing phenomena a name?
Because, well, like you say, you know, if there are instances in the sort of 50s and 70s, then, you know, that was before it really would have become popular as such.
Absolutely, and it makes you wonder about things like shadow figures. Shadow figures is a term we use all the time now. It's well known what shadow figure is, and I don't think there's any doubt that reports of shadow figures go way back. Mm. I mean, there's been reports of shadow figures for decades and decades, but they weren't necessarily called shadow figures.
No.
We've recently given them that term, and I think it's easier to come forward and tell a story if there's sort of an identifying label to further the explanation. Mm-hmm. So I do have to wonder, with the Black Eyed Kids phenomenon, is it phenomenon? I can't say phenomenon today. Terribly sorry. Is it just the fact that now there is a label to sort of semi-explain, you know, set the scene and make it easy to explain? Has it just made people more comfortable to come forward and tell of their encounters?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, if you've got an odd story like that, you're going to think, oh, no one's going to believe me. But if it sort of entered the public consciousness as a thing that happens, you can say, oh, yeah, that happened to me.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like I say, with shadow figures, it's quite easy to come forward and say, I see a shadow figure. Everybody knows what that is. It doesn't require much further explanation, and it doesn't sound as out there and kooky because it is already in the public consciousness. But, well,
I'll tell you what I want to know.
What?
I want to know what happens if you let them in, or you give them the lift, or whatever it is that they're asking
for. I don't want to know.
And has anyone ever done it?
Well, I don't know. Listeners, have you ever let a black-eyed child in? Please let us know, if you're still around to tell the tale, that is. I think if I saw a black-eyed child, that wouldn't cross my mind to experiment with what happened if you let one in. I think I'd just be running away.
Fair enough.
Running far, far away. So a nice little creepy story for you, and something to think about maybe before you open the door to the carol singers this Christmas. Might just want to check their eyes. Oh, quiz question. What was the answer?
Do you know the answer?
No.
It was the village of Woolpit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I say yeah, like I knew it. I didn't. But I'd heard of the story. It's very interesting, actually.
It was a very bizarre story.
I'm not sure I knew about the beans thing, about the fact that they only ate beans.
It was really, really strange. The two children basically showed up at the village not speaking any English and, like I say, refused to eat anything but beans to start with.
Is that what made them green?
Well, no, they were already green.
Oh, okay.
And they claimed to have come from, I believe it was St. Martin's Land, which was underground. apparently.
Okay.
But this, they discovered this after the girl, it was a boy and a girl, the girl learned English as she grew up. The boy, unfortunately, sickened and died.
Oh.
But yeah, she grew up, learned English, lost the green skin, and became known as a wanton young lady. So I think, you know, she was obviously a woman of loose morals.
Oh, I see. Oh, dear.
Whether that was because she came from the St. Martin's land of the people with the green skin, but, you know.
This is a very old story, isn't it?
Very, very old. I think it was 12th century, didn't I? Yeah, 12th century.
12th century, yeah. So really, really old story.
Very old story.
Yeah, very interesting. I didn't know about the beans. I've learnt something new. Well, I think that more or less brings us to the end of the episode.
It does pretty much bring us there. Before you go, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone for sending in your stories.
Yes.
Please do keep sending them in. If you want further details, then just visit the website notonceforyes.com, and that will show you all the ways you can send your stories in to us. And I think one last thing before we go, we have some Halloween Christmas crackers.
I promised there would be party hats. So here we are, the Halloween Christmas crackers. You've got to pull both at once. Ready? Get my party hat. Is there a terrible joke?
Is there a terrible ghostly Christmas joke?
Yes, there is, and it is terrible. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
What do ghosts eat for dinner?
I don't know. What do ghosts eat for dinner?
Goulash.
Oh.
I know. I'm just going to put my party hat on. Excellent. Right. That really is the end of the show now.
Very fetching.
I know. We hope you all have a fantastic Christmas. Thank you for listening this year, and we will hope that you will join us in 2017.
Indeed, for those of you that don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate or don't. If it's just a few days off work, brilliant. If you're at work, I'm terribly sorry. We hope this podcast helps you enjoy your time at work.
Indeed.
And a happy new year.